Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to which we can say, Amen. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. Here we have a beautiful text full of great good news. There is no condemnation. What could be better than that? The whole preceding text makes sense on this basis. We live in the new Adam. We regard the sinful nature as alien and the righteousness of Christ granted to us by his declaration as our proper and new nature. We regard Christ Jesus as our only Savior from sin, death, and hell. But some other things must be explained if this no condemnation is to have its full power for us. Our text today begs a question. What causes Paul to say, therefore? It is a beautiful text about no condemnation, but it does cry out for this therefore question to be answered. It asks, why there is no condemnation? A question that must be answered. And what about the now? As in, there is now no condemnation. Also, what of the in Christ Jesus? All three of these modifiers, therefore, now, and in Christ Jesus, of the no condemnation, must be dealt with for the passage to have its true impact. To take the easiest of the three to answer first, the in Christ Jesus is answered in the subsequent verses. Being in Christ Jesus means to be made new in him. You must be born again, Jesus says to Nicodemus. Paul says the same thing in different words. Christ has become our sacrifice. He has paid for us, and we are his men, women, and children. These words about the law are not to be thought of in terms of law and gospel law. Paul says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Here we have two laws, one of which plainly fulfills the role of gospel. The term law here would have had special meaning for the Romans. As a whole, and as their purpose in life of the Romans was based on civilizing lesser cultures, of course that's their perspective, on the basis of Roman peace and law. They were law studiers and law bringers, and for them law meant life and order. So Paul uses their language, sometimes meaning the law that condemns, and sometimes meaning the law of the Spirit of life, which in this case is synonymous with gospel. The problem people have with this modifier is that although the no condemnation means great good news for the Christian, it means judgment for the unbeliever, for they are left out of the no condemnation in this judgment. There is no universalist salvation here. It is a salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ for all who believe. Being just human won't cut it. And so this no condemnation is both full pardon for those who believe and a significant threat to those who don't. Now, turning to the other two terms, Paul has just finished spending the last five chapters on the work of Christ. His last major break came in chapter 3. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Here again we see the same "but now," or "therefore now," and also a parallelism in the structure. It goes from speaking of a righteousness in parallel to the no condemnation, and then each passage spins out what that righteousness means. The important thing for us, however, is that we understand that this "but now" in both cases moves us from thinking about our old nature with its hypocrisy, problems, and issues, and moves us to thinking what it is to live with our new Adam, a great Lord and Savior. So this "but now" means we are to consider our old ways dead, our sinful nature temporary, ending with this temporal death, and our new nature and new ways to be the ways of the cross and resurrection, the ways of eternal Christian life. Paul makes this shift in both cases. Now, some Lutherans need a little law every now and then, and what has been said so far has very little bite for us. Actually, no bite at all, because it's the other guys, the unbelievers, who get the law, right? After all, who doesn't want to live in this no condemnation and "but now" life? But that's the real problem for us, isn't it? We really don't want to trust that this Jesus is enough. We really don't want to believe that it is only by his gracious pardon we are saved. We always want to dwell either on our sin and its repercussions in our past, rather than the Savior who has paid for us, or on what we can do to somehow earn this new estate in Christ Jesus. Just fill in the blank. I would somehow be a better Christian if. Both of these approaches are false and idolatrous and are present, I dare say, in every one of us. We stand like Nicodemus when we hear, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit of life and peace, the sinful mind, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." Nicodemus would ask of Jesus, "How can this be? How can a man be born again and enter a second time into his mother's womb?" And we would ask, "How can we live apart from the sinful nature? We want no condemnation plus. We want a part in our salvation." But Paul has dealt with this in the previous passage in chapter 7, where he indicates that it is the old man that is sinning, that the new man, in disagreement with the old, is present and real as well. Paul knows that while we have this sinful nature, he would have us live by grace through faith in this crucified and resurrected Jesus. Although we do have a sinful nature, we are to live in the new one. He would have us live trusting not in some works specious and valueless for salvation, but rather in the trust in these simple words, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to all who are in Christ Jesus." And living in these words, we can also live in the words that follow, in the new life in Christ. The idolatrous something more is gone, relegated to that old Adam that quakes before death's portal, while the new Adam sees only the eternal life to come and reveals in the no condemnation presented by Christ to all, revels in the no condemnation presented by Christ to all who believe. And in this no condemnation state, we do abundant good works, works above judgment, because they are certified, approved, and set out for us by our Lord and Savior, as Paul would remind us in Ephesians. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so this new no condemnation in Christ Jesus way does not break the law, but it rather overfills the law with good works of love and compassion, set out by our Lord and Savior for us to do. And so the good news is that even this self-reliance, this desire to contribute to salvation, is taken to the cross. Even that is forgiven. Even this desire to save ourselves can be and is forgiven by Jesus Christ. And so now, living in that no condemnation, we engage in Christian lives, doing those forgiven works of love which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Amen.